So if you're new with us, then you would know that we have been marveling at our salvation for almost a full year now. And it started off with just talking about all of the good things that come with our salvation. Because your salvation is not just like your ticket to heaven. It's so much deeper than that. He supports us. He gives us love. He gives us encouragement. And we've talked about all of the We've talked about a lot of the benefits that come with our salvation. We've talked about worship and praise, and we've talked about compassion, and we've talked about all of these things. And then we got stuck in love, because love is one of the gifts that comes with our salvation. And we have been here for a long time, like 3 months or something like that. And we've been working off of the definition that the Bible gives us about love. This scripture is not just for weddings. It's for today, too. It's for this afternoon when your kids are no longer getting along and they're no longer, you know, it's no Mother's Day is over and they're like, now I'm hungry. Feed me. You know, it's for that. It's for them, too. So here's the definition of love as found in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so when you look at this list, you're like, wow, that's a heavy list. Right. This is, if you're really going to love somebody, then these are the requirements of that love. And this is not something that one romantic weekend will do for you. Like, you can't just have like this fabulous date with somebody and then that's enough for the rest of your life. No. You got to start leaning into this list when you move into the same house with them. It's a whole different situation. That's a heavy list. And so as we have been working through here, we're to the next to last one. We're in hopes all things. Now, while last week believes all things was definitely challenging, this week should be maybe the easiest week yet. Because hopes all things, I don't know if it's a worldwide phenomenon. I suspect that it is. But we as Americans are very good at hope, right? You hope the best for your baseball team, right? My Cardinals have won 7 games in a row, Chuck, and I am hopeful that they continue to win. That's what I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that the Cubs will lose. That's not the part of this. It's easy to be hopeful. We hope for good Christmas presents. We hope that our kids will grow up and be productive humans. We hope for your car to start in the morning. We hope, like, we're good at hope. I don't think that this one will be the toughest one that we deal with. Last week was very difficult to really, like, believe all things, to really have faith in everybody always, which I think is the most extreme reading of that. That's very, very difficult to do, but we can. We are sort of lowering the bar here this week. We can hope. We can hope. That's the very base of all of this. So what is it? What is hope's all things? Well, it is the beginning of faith. So we're going to read a scripture here. This is Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Okay, so hope is the beginning of faith. So last week, believes all things is to put faith into, to put trust into, to put confidence in. That's what believes all things is. So if you're going to love somebody by believing in them, then that's, you're putting your faith into them, you're putting your trust into, you're putting your confidence in them. This one is sort of, we're lowering the bar a little bit this week to put hope into people, right? That's a lot easier, isn't it? This is a lot easier. In fact, when you first meet somebody, then you really sort of hope that they are who they represent themselves to be, right? And that the way that dating works, you meet somebody and they're funny and charming, and you're like, I wonder if they're funny and charming always. And you begin to put hope in that person until it comes time to stand before the preacher in front of a church and put then confidence in. So it starts with hope. In fact, just 21 years ago, last Wednesday, Shannon and I met for the very first time. How about that? And she was definitely flirting with me from the very start. She immediately put her hope into me, immediately. No, I don't think she was. Turns out her hope was not lost, because I turned out to be okay, right? And the same is true on the opposite side. I put my hope into her, and then eventually, when we got married, I put my faith in, I put my confidence in her, right? And that's how this works. That's the hope is the beginning of faith. That's what it is. Hope is the beginning of faith. And we can do that, can't we? You guys can hope. You can hope for the best, can't you? All right, let's move on. How is God like this? All right, so we're going to read Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So how is God like this? He is the source of hope. He's the source. So if you're looking for some, you know, at the bare minimum, if you're looking for some hope, then where can you find it? In the source itself, in God Himself, that's where you can find it. He is the source of hope. So if you're putting your hope in, I don't know, people are going to fail you. The world in general is going to fail you, but God is the source of hope. So if you're looking, you need an extra dose of hope, then you got to turn to Jesus. You got to turn to God. That's where it comes from. Let me read you another scripture. This is Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. Oh, we're going to read. Okay, so this is a prophecy that was from the Old Testament that they are repeating in the New Testament, talking about Jesus. Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved who pleases me. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed nor put out a flickering candle. Finally, he will cause justice to be victorious, and his name will be the hope of all the world. And his name will be the hope of all the world. So not only is he the source of hope, he is the name of hope. So if you're really looking for hope, then it's Jesus is the place. There's no other where to go. Jesus is the place. If you're like, man, I feel so hopeless, then Jesus is the place. He's the only source for real, true, full-on hope. He's the source of hope. So he is the source of hope. He is the name of hope. Let's look at another scripture here. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this is just a few verses down from where we are with this love stuff, right? We're going to start in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Hope will last forever. Now, I looked up that word forever there to find out what forever meant. It means forever. That's what it means. That means that, and this is a bit confusing to me, I'll admit, but that means we will hope in heaven. I don't know what, like, heaven feels like this complete place. So what is it that we would be, what is it that we would need to be hopeful about? Like, we're going to be complete, lacking nothing, right, in heaven. But I think the reason why hope exists in heaven is because it is the base of love. Hope, faith, love. I think that's the way it's worked. I think because you have to have hope in order to have love. And this is who God is. God is the source of hope. And so it just is bubbling out of him, however that works. It's just bubbling out of him everywhere. And so when one day when we're in heaven, when we see Jesus in his fullness, when we see God in his glory, right, then we will have hope, we'll have faith, and we'll have love. And it will last forever. That's really good news. That's really good news. Now, get your coffee cups out, because a bunch of you will have this scripture on your coffee cups. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So God, who is the source of hope, the name of hope, the eternity of hope, also he is dumping it out on you. His plan is to give you hope, right? Plan for good, plan for awesome, plan for wonderful, plan for hope. So there's no time when you would ever have to be hopeless if you know Jesus. Because God's got a plan for you to give you hope. And not just a little bit of hope, but the source of hope. Forever hope. That lasts eternity. Hope. That's what's available to us. How is God like this? How is God like hopes all things? Because he is hope. He radiates it. He oozes it. It comes out everywhere from him. All right. So what would it be like to love our neighbor this way? To love our neighbor, hopefully. So last week we set the bar. Believes all things was to put faith in, put confidence in, to put trust in. That's what God wants us to do. That's how God wants us to love one another, is to by putting trust in. And like I said, I think the most extreme reading of that is to trust everybody always, to put confidence in everybody always. I think, though, that the Lord will lower the bar for us as humans, you know, side by side, in that we should, at the very least, assume the best of one another. I think that that was the sort of the point of what last week was. So this week, we get to lower the bar a little bit more, because now you don't have to just assume the best. Now you can hope for the best. And we can do that, can't we? We can hope for the best, even with the most yucky people out there. We can still hope for the best. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Nor do we boast or claim credit for the work that someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. So here's what Paul is saying. He has worked among these people, and he put a church, this is 2 Corinthians, he put a church there, and he wrote them one letter, and then they were doing some bad stuff, and that letter fixed them up, and he wrote them another letter. And what he's saying here is that I put seeds out, and I'm hopeful that you guys will let those seeds grow, right? In fact, this week, Shannon and I got a phone call from one of our Hopkinsville people, one of our Woodshed people, just destroyed, just sobbing, like the kind of sobbing where she couldn't even talk. It was like, in fact, why didn't you wait a few minutes before you called me, kind of sobbing, like... She couldn't even breathe well, and it was this lovely moment where Shannon, because Shannon and I had put a lot of effort into this young lady, Shannon had done discipleship books with her and things like that. We had really worked with this young lady, and so, but she had kind of walked away from anything that had to do with the Lord. And so it was this really cool moment that we got to then pray with her this week in this moment where she was really distraught. And I think that's what Paul is sort of saying here. Like, I'm hopeful that the seeds that we've put in you, the seeds that we have sprinkled around you or whatever, will grow into full-grown maturity. That's what we're hopeful for. And I think if you want to love your neighbor that way, then that's it. You sprinkle the seeds, and then you hope. You hope for the best. Like, even for our politicians, right? Our politicians. I would assume most of us would all mostly agree on political things here in this room. You know, we're of a certain type of people or whatever. And that's not about this. I don't care. But you know, there's sort of two groups in our country, right? While I disagree with a lot of the ways that the other side would do a thing, I can at least be hopeful that we're all sort of headed to the same goal, right? We all want America to be best, and we all want America to be awesome. We all want America to take care of its neighbor. We all want America to, you know what I mean? And so while I disagree with some political pathways that we might take, I can at least be hopeful that those I disagree with even the most are still trying to get to the same point of an awesome America. I can at least agree. I can at least be hopeful in that sense, right? And I can be hopeful that they're not stealing money off the top, that they're not, you know, I can at least be hopeful. And while I may not put my confidence in them, I can at least be hopeful, right? And honestly, well, never mind. I'm going to leave my politics out of it. You know, we talked about panhandlers last week. And how we need to at least assume the best, that we, as we hand them money, that they're doing their best with what we give them. But here we've lowered the bar even more, and we can at least be hopeful. We hand them a couple of bucks or whatever, and we can at least be hopeful that with that little bit of money that we handed them, and the Jesus loves you or the God bless you or whatever it is that you say, because hopefully you're not just handing somebody a couple of bucks with no Jesus message, because then you're just handing them bucks, right? You need to hand them Jesus bucks, right? I just made that up. You need to hand them money with some impactfulness to it. And so if you're handing money away, then give them a little God loves you or something, right? And we can at least be hopeful that even if they spend that money on the worst things that could be spent money on, at least we can be hopeful that seed that we planted, that teeny tiny seed that we planted, would grow. If you can't have faith, trust, confidence in, then it's at the bare minimum we can have hope in people. What would it be like to love our family this way? All right, so 1 Thessalonians 2:17. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns, it is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Now, when I read this chunk of scripture here, here's what I'm reading. That Paul had invested all that he had in the Thessalonians, everything that he had. Now, doesn't that sound a lot like parenting, right? Doesn't that sound like, because I give everything I know how to give to my kids. Everything I know how to be, all the good that I can be, I try to give all of it to my children. If anybody is going to carry on my legacy, it's not going to be you guys, it's going to be my kids. That's so they are my pride and joy. And so what would it be like to love them? Is to put hope that everything that I teach will become full-blown Christian maturity. That's my hope. What would it be like to love my family this way? What would it be like to love my kids this way? It would be to put my hope in that everything that I've taught, everything, every life lesson that I've given, even the like non-spiritual ones, just about how to handle money and stuff, like all of that would develop into a full-blown mature adult, mature Christian that loves Jesus. That's the hope. That's what I want. And so that's the very bottom baseline of how I love my kids, is to put hope in the stuff that I have taught them. And I know there are so many people in this room, probably 20%. You know, I text you guys, like probably 20% of the prayer requests that I get from you guys are about reconciliation with some family member to another family member. Probably 20% of them, maybe more. And that's you guys hoping that those who know things about Jesus will come back to Jesus or learn about him for the first time. That's what that is. And so that's what I'm praying for, is that reconciliation to happen in the lives of all of these children and grandchildren. To come back, because they are our pride and joy. That's what we want so badly. And I really believe the Lord wants that too. But we can at the very bottom put hope that that'll happen someday. That someday they'll remember the messages they were taught. That someday they will return. Someday they'll hear a thing on the radio and God will remind them of some lesson that mom and dad taught them, or some Bible scripture that, you know, whatever it is, or they'll overhear a conversation at Walmart, or whatever it is, that the Lord will send laborers across their path, and we can have a hope that will bring them back into the fold of Jesus. I know you guys' hearts break over this kind of thing, over that reconciliation with your families. And my heart breaks with you, and I wish there was something I could do, but all I can do is pray, and I can hope. I can hope for the best. All right, finally, what would it be like to love God this way? We're going to read Romans 8:23. Where is it? And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. And we believers also groan because we have hope that someday we get to stand before Jesus. Someday we get to stand before the Lord. Someday we get to be in heaven. Someday we get to join him. I can't tell you how much I can't wait to not be human anymore. I can't wait to tear off this flesh, this skin, these bones, and the veiled darkness that I live in. I can't wait to not live in sin anymore, to stand before our God and worship him in fullness, to be able to see him in his full glory. I can't wait to not have to do that through these yucky sinfulness. I can't wait. And someday we get to stand before Jesus. Someday we get to see the man face to face who died on the cross for our sins. Someday we get to see it in full. We get to see him in face to face. We get to worship him face to face. Someday we'll stand in a coliseum or out in a field, or I don't know how it's going to work, but we'll see God in his glory, all of his glory, and we'll be able to worship in fullness with no sin, no scratching, no itchiness, no whatever. We'll be able to rip all that away and stand before him and see what he's done for us. Someday we'll be able to see the nail-scarred hands, the pierced side. Someday we'll be able to see it, and we'll be able to say thank you without sin between us. Someday. And that's the hope. You want to love God with hope? Then hope in that. Live for that day. That day. That day. It's so much greater than this day. This day is a dumb day. It's Mother's Day. I didn't mean it like that. This day is a terrible day. This day is, we're still just humans. We're sinful and we're gross and we're yucky. But someday we get to tear all of that off. Someday we get to wash all of that away under the blood and stand before him and just worship him in glory. This morning, we're going to sing one more song. And I want you, please, don't just let this happen to you. Sing this song to God. Sing it to Jesus. Sing it to the Holy Spirit that's in your heart. Sing it. Like, actually say the words to God. And let yourself just worship him for who he is.
Imagine what it will be like.
I know that it's hard to, I know we're grown adults or whatever. We don't like to use our imagination. I know we're like, you know, we don't play anymore. We don't pretend anymore. But allow your imagination to actually go wild. What would it actually be like to stand in front of Him? What would it actually be like to worship Him? What would it actually be like to be in heaven someday? What would the glory look like? What would the streets look like? What would the seats look like? What would it look like to stand there before the Lord? And let your imagination go wild as we sing this song. Father, in the name of Jesus, someday our hope will be fulfilled and we will get to stand in front of you. We will be able to stand in front, to see you in all your glory, to see you without these filthy rags on, to see you in your fullness, to experience you completely, God. I can't wait, Lord. I pray every soul in this room, everybody watching on YouTube, everybody, Father, would think about that moment and what it's going to mean, Lord, and give themselves to you completely. God, you're good. You are holy. You are wonderful. You are righteous. You're deserving of every piece of who we are. God, we worship you, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Mike, is everything put away or do you need some help? Okay. All right, make sure you grab your, you know, if you brought a dish, be sure to grab that on your way out. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. I hope you felt honored today. I hope your kids are good today for you and they love you. Happy Mother's Day. Be blessed.